Hey everybody, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. I am Andrew Farmer, and with me, the Jedi Cole Houston.
I have found my way back.
He has. He's here for introduction, and then we'll get right into part two of the Tins in issue 173, but we managed to pull him away from the vortex, from the black hole-like abyss that is Alcon, and bring him back to the fold, at least for a little while.
Yes, I managed to pull away from Alcon, to pull out.
That's not an effective means of contraception, Cole. So, how's it going?
Finally someone tells me.
How's it going?
Pretty good. I have pretty much been embroiled heavily in Alcon preparations, but I am happy to say I am further along now than in past years at the same, roughly the same time frame. So,
well, right on. So break it down for us. I've given paltry exposition in your stead, but break down what people can expect and when they can expect it and how to get there and how to find it and how to buy tickets and all that stuff.
Absolutely. Well, Alcon is back for its 12th year, which is amazing.
That's the Cherry's Jubilee of Alcon.
Yeah, that's so very true.
Gross.
A little inside joke there that we will not repeat. Alcon is back this year. Alcon Dallas will be in Dallas for the first time at the Western Park Central in Dallas, Texas. And it is four full days of just nonstop amazing stuff. A few weeks ago, and I'm sure this has expanded beyond that, the 399th event for the weekend had just been added to the mix. So easily there are going to be 450 to 475 things going on over the course of a mere 4 days. No one, you have to be like Hermione with her little watch thing to be able to do all of the, all the Harry Potter fans are suddenly been alienated. Hermione with her little watch thing.
I think that's as accurate as my explanations of Harry Potter when I'm forced to do a quarter and people ask me shit and I have to answer it.
That's right. But my department, Games and Theory, will be back again this year, of course, with all kinds of great game shows for Alcon from a number of different producers this year, not solely Half-Ass Productions, which is my group. And this is, of course, if you're keen on admission, go to Alcon, ALL-CON.net. There is a toggle once you enter the site for admission and souvenirs.
Souvenirs,
novelties, power tricks, to quote Top Secret. people got that one.
Cole's punchy. He hasn't been on a podcast in a little while.
Yeah, it's but you're talking about four full days for $55.
That's insane.
For, there are conventions here in the Dallas area that are $40 to $50 a day.
Right. And you will not get more out of $55 for 4 days than you will out of Alcon.
There is more stuff than you can shake a stick at. And you're talking about, with the schedule, for example, there are things going on oftentimes on any given day from 9 a.m. to midnight and well into the next morning. My own department, we're producing yet again in Andy's absence, sadly enough, the Onliners exhibition game show, where we have a wonderful team of folks coming in to...
Oh, man, so good.
Just play some great improv off the top of their heads in a game show kind of format. We have, the festivities begin on Thursday, March 17th. I guess I should say it's 17th through the 20th. Thursday, March 17th at 11 a.m. with myself and Todd and I think we may even have a third person. Michael, I believe, is going to be joining us on stage for Alcon in 60 minutes. We have 1 hour to tell you pretty much everything we can about what Alcon's all about. And then it just kicks off from there. Thursday, March 17th, if you're kind of like, I don't know, I've never been to Alcon, I don't know what to expect, come on out. It's free admission. Full day of stuff going on. In fact, Games in Theory in the Canyon Room is going to have...
Oh, you got the Canyon Room? Damn!
So we have... This is for the first time my department, the game show department, will have its own committed room. Things kick off in Canyon at 1 a.m. Sorry, at 1 a.m. at 1 p.m.
Hey, I wouldn't put
name
it past
that
it.
Tune, a cartoon trivia show that is promises to be a ton of fun, followed by the return of Screen Time, and it just goes on from there with old classics like Don't Lose Your Geek Card, and at 7 p.m., the game show where everybody in the audience is a contestant. And that's just Thursday, and there's probably about 40-some-odd things going on Thursday alone.
Right.
So far, I mean, the schedule continues to be fleshed out, so check that every couple of days at allcon.net. And might I recommend the Canyon Room?
But I mean, if you're
there's almost it almost doesn't stop having stuff every day. I think there's only just a couple of 1 hour gaps on one each on two different days, and it's but that's not all. There's you know, it's like it's ordinary honey, but it's not ordinary honey,
right?
There are exhibitions, my own talk shows that I've been putting on for years. There are workshops, panels. Celebrity guests. We've got some fun guests this year. I was going to question why Marshall Barnes is back again this year, but apparently he's a time traveler, so he never left.
He's been there. He's just been there.
Just never stopped being there. We have actually Paul Blake, who was one of the Greedos.
I thought you were going to say Paul Blart. I was like, Mall Cop is there?
That's right. Our Star Wars guests this year, we have Paul Blake, who is one of the people who played Greedo.
That's fantastic.
There's a woman who did some of the pickups and stuff when they did reshoots in America, but so they have had actually two different people play Greedo in the original Star Wars. And Brian Muir, who had apparently written a book called In the Shadow of Vader, was a sculptor who sculpted the original Darth Vader helmet.
Holy cow.
He also did the sculpture work for the Death Star droid, and a lot of the other droids, and some of the finishing work on C-3PO. He was working at Elstree Studios back in the 70s, and has sculpted for all kinds of different, even as recent as Harry Potter and Guardians of the Galaxy. So he's been at it a while, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'll have the good fortune of moderating a panel with him myself. Tim Lawrence, who's a special effects artist, who worked on Ghostbusters and Gremlins.
So cool.
Various other actor, director, writer, who's apparently like having three people as a guest, Chuck Huber, who apparently won the People's Choice Voice Acting Award.
Wow.
Vocal Ensemble, and apparently plays Dr. McCoy in Star Trek Continues.
Oh, that's awesome.
Damn it, Jim.
Damn it, Jim.
Who else is coming?
Well, I mean, the thing is...
At a personal... thrill for myself because this was a someone I highly recommended and AllCon was a guest. Guest of this very show not too long ago, Michael Price will be there, a legend in the comics industry.
Michael Price, if you haven't heard the episode, it was an episode on horror comics, which Cole and I just pulled up a blanket and sat at his feet while he was in the rocking chair telling us all about comic books. 30-year fans of comic books, and we just sat wrapped in silence.
He's an amazing guy. You will really love... What I love about AllCon is the access to the guests.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just go hide them off somewhere. They're actually... They're available. They were thrilled to be there. They're out there actually going to some of the events themselves, which is a real treat. Gigi Edgley from Farscape.
What? Am I missing... I'm missing Gigi Edgley this...
You are, yes. I'm afraid so.
Ah, there goes all my sexual dreams. Damn you! Damn you, AllCon, and damn you, Ohio! Why are you taking away years of Spank Bank material?
And, of course, our perennial favorite, Neil Kaplan, is back.
He
lives at AllCon in March. So
he doesn't go as a guest. He just goes to hang out and mess with people. That's
he'll be there. He'll have a table, sign some autographs. He'll be running up and down the halls, goofing off. He'll be presenting the costume contest again, which is a real treat to hear the man, you know, having fun and engaging those in costume and doing what I would do and tripping over anime names.
He might pants you in the hallway. You never know with Neil Kaplan.
But, you know, we've had the good fortune of Neil Kaplan has been at AllCon over these last several years, more years than he hasn't, I think, at this point. So I think this may be his seventh year to be at AllCon, and he's just an absolute treasure. He's really pretty much the MVP of AllCon.
He really is. So it's coming up.
By the way, that contrary to popular perception, I am not one of the AllCon producers.
Well, you produce a track.
Don't stop asking me every question under the sun, because I really, as Mrs. Jelly Cole pointed out, I have become sort of an ad hoc ambassador.
Well, that's the thing, is that nobody knows, even though you're not a producer, nobody knows more as much, you know, equal parts maybe, but you are in the upper echelon of you're like the holocron for AllCon.
Well, like, I can understand why people think that I'm one of the producers, because this has been my convention. I think myself and Neil Kaplan have joint custody of this show.
That's right.
I've been involved all 12 years, and this year's theme, because we are finally, the first 2 years were in Irving, the next year was in the next 9 years were in Addison. This is the first year AllCon Dallas will be in Dallas, so the theme this year is Dallas, First Step Toward World Domination. And in honor of that very theme, I'm rolling out a one-off game show this year only, Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
It's great.
We have 8 world domination categories, including the Superman.
Teach you something about world domination.
Winners and Luthers is...
It's a good one. It's a good one.
The G.I. Joe and Cobra themed Special Forces. A personal favorite category, the James Bond themed Bikini Spectre.
So good. So good.
And throughout the game, 8 secret mission files can be activated.
Oh my god.
Individual pieces of trivia based on things that didn't quite write a full category, like the special assignment, Say Uncle, for example, or Blame Canada, which I'm going to keep a secret. Exactly, you're thinking, what kind of world domination thing? Trust me, there actually is a world domination theme question that has to do with a certain Canadian plot to take over the world.
I think I know what it is, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
You know, fans of NBC late night television back in the 80s might know what I'm talking about.
Did you happen to see, this is a little off topic, but did you happen to see that the Batman 66 comic book is doing a crossover from the Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Oh, no. Wow. That's...
Yeah, it looks really
like the
rad.
Best crossover since the Green Hornets stopped by.
I know, just hung out.
They battled Colonel Gum.
So yeah, when is it again?
That is March 17th through 20th in Dallas, Texas. Go to allcon.net, allcon.net. Click on the enter toggle, and you can get all of the information, admission, souvenirs, the schedule. Visit the features and guests section will give you all the information on everything, including my own department. And most of the descriptions of game shows were written by myself, because I do love a clever turn of phrase and enjoy descriptors and things like that. So you can go in there, toggle the game show section, and see a lot of pictures, vintage pictures of me, and even one picture at the bottom of me and Andy.
Oh, God. Is that picture still on there?
I apparently said something to Andy where he's trying to yank his own head off.
Is it that awful picture of me that you just refuse to let die?
It's not the one where I'm writing post-it notes on your
page. Okay. This is a different picture. Okay, I'm all for that. Now, so how long do we have to... Speaking of shows, we you and I have a show. You're on it right now. How long are we without you until you come back to the fold?
This will introduce in such a fashion. This is my third week out of 4.
So okay.
It's a limited edition. It's like when Thing left. I'm just sullenly wandering around Yancey Street in my trench coat.
Because Johnny Storm got all up on your blind girlfriend. That happens.
So I got to wander around, you know, meet Thundra and get back in my groove.
There you go. So,
I don't know if he actually met Thundra, but it seemed like she'd be his type.
So a couple more weeks, then we get Cole back. We got some real interesting topics. We were actually kicking around a few new ones today. So without further ado, we're going to kick off part two of the tens with Nick, and we got a very special episode following this one. And then, if all things go well, the return, the prodigal son returns
with the wind.
With the wind, and the cherries jubilee of this show, Cole. I'm just going
to
use it as
and
a
I
verb,
have to say, by the way,
a noun.
Before I depart and return back to the burying myself in all things Alcon, and if you do get a chance to attend, you will see the fruits of my labor, and if you're lucky, the labor of my fruits. That I'm really impressed. Let that awkwardness steep a moment.
Just,
that's thick. So I've been really impressed with the topics that have been covered thus far. The flavor art with the Marvel superhero the game just brought back
so many bad memories. Just hurts on the inside. In the last two issues, this one coming up in the last one, I don't know, but they're very long shot heavy. I'm not sure why. They're just long shot all over the place.
Yeah, long shot and butterflies.
It's a great picture. I'm going to get that tattooed on my back. Full back. Long shot and butterflies. Full back piece. There's a really interesting thing coming up in this issue involving Swamp Thing, and again, since Cole, I will say this, since you've been away, it's like my parents went on vacation, and my friends and I hung out and got drunk and just started using all the curse words and dirtiness that we could find to try to impress each other.
Well,
so
I did notice there was a crack in the glass egg I was going to talk to you about.
Yeah, well, suck it, Pops, we got a show to do. All right, so Cole's going to join us in a couple weeks. Without further ado, here's the second part of the tens, and go to Alcon, for God's sake.
See you at Alcon. And be sure to check out my talk shows, The Jedi Cole Universe Live, which I believe is on Friday, and the perennial favorite, I can't tell you how many years running, they drag my ass out of bed in the morning.
And everybody else is out of bed.
Yeah,
too.
Jedi Cole's Morning After on Sunday morning, the longest running talk show at Alcon, and one of the first.
There you go. All right, enjoy the show, guys. We'll see you next week. And Cole, see you in a couple.
I'll be here.
Top 10 comic book serial killers. Like, straight up.
That's really hard.
It is.
Who's that? Morpheus?
Morpheus, the Sandman Morpheus?
No, the guy from Spider-Man that drinks people's plasma and he's a vampire.
Morbius, the living vampire.
That's what it is, Morbius.
Right. He's a pretty good one.
Well, I mean, I think he's the definition of a serial killer.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be super specific.
And he's really pale. Pale face.
And he's got, little wings.
He's pale face.
Pale face. So Morpheus, the living vampire, good one.
Mm-hmm.
See, the obvious one is the Joker.
Yeah.
I mean, he's psychotic. His methodology is very specific. He doesn't necessarily just randomly kill people. He definitely has a...
But he also randomly kills people.
He does just randomly kill people. But, it's always... There's a method. There's a reason that he's doing it. And that's usually just to try to have sex with Batman, which I think is pretty much all he wants. I mean, has anybody ever talked about that? I've never heard it.
I don't think he wants to, just bang him. I think he wants to, skull fuck him because he's weirdo.
Like, I think that he wants some weird butt stuff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He wants to do cartwheel 69s or whatever with Batman.
My favorite Taylor
and
Swift
Batman
song.
Has the upper body strength to pull it off.
I mean, they could really do it because he's very fragile and wispy.
Mm-hmm.
Batman could cartwheel 69 the hell out of him.
Yeah, he could all night if he wanted.
All night, he could give him the Bahaman cruise.
Bahama Mama.
The Bahama Mama. Right.
Okay, so I have two.
Okay.
Margaret Thatcher.
A horrible serial killer. The worst serial killer. I still think that Margaret Thatcher might have been Jack the Ripper.
I still think she's the hottest politician of all time.
Oh, by far.
Yeah.
Any of those princesses
she's
that come
way
out
hotter
like
than Jack Ruby.
Jack Ruby of the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, well, supposed.
So, quote unquote, big quotes. Big quotes.
Yep.
Jack Ruby.
Okay, so not like the comic book character Sasquatch, but the excuse me, not Sasquatch, but what's the thing? Nessie.
Has Nessie done a lot of killing?
Yeah, think about it.
I mean,
you hear Earl about Bruce.
Earl Bruce.
He killed what's his name? Mel Gibson in that movie, Braveheart.
And Braveheart. So that, in your mind,
I actually draws, think Nessie was Jack the Ripper.
Draws a line between the movie Braveheart and the Loch Ness Monster.
Yes,
because Scotland
freedom.
Okay, I'm with it. I'm good. I like
so
it.
So that's my number 8 pick.
The two of those.
Well, that's yes, together.
Together is number 8.
They're okay. Jack the Ripper. She rides Nessie into battle.
Margaret Thatcher rides Nessie into battle.
What the hell's Loch Ness Monster? That's
yeah,
what it is.
Yeah. All right.
She's a bad bitch.
I think Green Goblin.
Oh, obviously.
See, the weird thing about Green Goblin was
he's insane.
That he was always screwing with Peter Parker, not Spider-Man. Like, oh, I'll get you. I'll kill Gwen Stacy. Like, he doesn't know that Peter Parker. Did he know that Peter Parker was Spider-Man? I think
it's another one of those, like, thing where he wants to bang him. Like, he wants to bang Peter.
But he can't.
He wants to touch Peter's Peter.
But he can't, so he's going to kill all the girlfriends?
Yep.
That's good.
Oh, you're not into boys? Well.
Now you die.
Yeah, now you're not going to have any girls, so you're going to have to pick me as a boy.
I'm going to be the end game.
And your dad and your brother and your, like, friend, that's my son, is going to have to watch.
Right, and that's not going to make him crazy.
It did make him crazy.
And become another Green Goblin.
Oh, no, he went crazy. He started, he went to NYU, and he...
That'll do it.
Yeah, and then he made up all these weird movies.
Oh, yeah, no, he did.
Yeah, and then he was on that soap opera.
General Hospital.
Yep, for a long time. Everybody was like, what are you doing there?
And he'd just be on there for like 5 minutes and then leave. He'd bring somebody flowers and just leave.
Yep.
He said that was the most important acting role of his life, too.
He's an idiot, dude.
He has his own channel, his own like TV channel where there's like art. Like,
yeah, Fart.
Right. I think it's called Fart.
Fart Network.
The Fart Network.
Film your farts. Put your farts up.
At least it's not his brother. I hate his brother so much.
Yeah, dude. He was in 22 Jump Street.
I hated
or one or whatever.
And one.
Yeah, and he got punched in the face and I laughed.
Dave Franco, and this is good for Jason Adams. He'll laugh about this because we laugh about this. Dave Franco always looks like he's 15 seconds away from just shoving his hands down his pants. I don't know what it is, but he always just looks like he's like, hey guys, just like shove his hands down his pants.
He's
I
very
don't know.
Excitable man.
He is. Okay,
he's kind of like a puppy.
So we've agreed that Green Goblin is number 7 and Dave Franco is number 6. I think that that's a safe assumption.
Obviously.
I think he's probably the world's worst serial killer and nobody knows it yet. Mm-hmm. I think that he killed enough people with Catch Me If You Can that...
He was in Catch Me If You Can?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. He was the sleight of hand guy.
Oh, Catch Me If You Can. I was confusing that with that one movie with DiCaprio.
No, you are. You're right. Catch Me If You Can is the DiCaprio. Now You See Me.
That's it.
Yeah.
He was in that movie.
That was an awful
And he's
movie.
In that stuttering guy that's the same role in every movie, and now he's going to be Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Eckelsberg?
Yeah, the guy from Rio. The voice in Rio.
Is he a voice in Rio?
Yeah, the bird movie.
I don't like him very much.
Yeah, I don't like bird movies.
I don't like movies about birds. What's your top 4 worst bird movies?
Birds.
The Birds, yes.
No, Birds.
Okay, Birds.
Birds of the Southern Wilderness.
Yeah.
And Rio and Rio 2.
Okay, nice.
Rio 2 is worse, obviously.
What about March of the Penguins?
Well, they're not really... Okay, so they smell like fish, and they probably taste like fish.
Right.
So they're fish in my book.
So they no flightless birds.
American.
American birds.
Only American birds.
Like Rio.
Well, it's American.
It's an American film about non-American birds.
What are you talking about? It's
coming
American?
Over here.
South America is still America.
Okay, fine.
The New World.
The New World.
Oh, there we go. That's another bird movie I don't like. The New World.
Is that the one with Colin Farrell?
Yes. He plays John Smith.
Does he?
Pocahontas.
Nice. Bury some fish and grow some corn.
Yep.
Nice.
See, what you do is you put the fish over top of the seed, and it like makes it so...
It fertilizes.
Yeah. So that was science with Nick.
You should have seen his hands. He was doing it. He was showing me science. Literally. It was awesome. What's number 4?
Serial killer.
Number 4.
Okay. So this is... You're going to like this one. Like, there's so many. That's the thing. Like, basically every fucking insane supervillain is one. Like, fucking Penguin's one. But one I'm going to pick right now, Arcade.
Who?
Arcade.
That is a perfect, good, yes. By definition, serial killer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't consider Lex Luthor or Penguin serial killer because they're doing it for money. Like,
yeah, Arcade's just doing it because he's insane. Okay.
Arcade's doing it because he's a batshit crazy.
Fucking Carnage.
That's what I was going to say. Venom, Carnage.
Well, both Venom's a good guy now.
Now. Somehow now it's okay for Venom to...
And why in my mind did they pick fucking Topher Grace to be Eddie Brock? Worst fucking decision of all time. Fuck you, Sony.
Because they
That's all I have to say.
Because they couldn't get Elijah Wood to do it.
Fuck Elijah Wood. That's not what you want. Listen, you want some beef dude? Like some beefy ass
You want
dude.
Dolph Lundgren?
Actually, not Dolph Lundgren. You know who had been fucking good at it? Motherfucker... Ugly dude that's in American Pie. Stifler. What's
yeah,
his name?
Stifler.
Fucking good at it. He's like big and diesel now. Astin. Not Sean Astin.
No, but yes.
Sean William
no,
Scott.
No, but yes, Sean Astin. Now I'm hooked in my brain. Sean Astin has been.
Well, he is big in 50 First Dates.
Yeah, he is.
He's big time.
Sean William Scott.
Yeah, he would have been great Eddie Dean.
I
Fuck you, Sony. Fuck you and your ass.
Just give up the rights.
I'm really glad that people tried to kill you because of whatever movie, whatever. I hate Sony.
Just give up the rights to Spider-Man. Give them back
give
to Marvel.
Up. Give it to Disney.
You can make a bunch of money. They'll still pay you.
But I'm going to give them another chance just because Fox did such a great job with Deadpool.
Ooh. They do a real good job.
Yeah, I was happy. Real make good. Sure you watch it in D-Box.
Yeah, dude. Here's the thing. If you haven't seen a D-Box movie, you haven't lived.
D-Box?
Make sure you turn it down to about half because if you leave it up, you will fly across the theater. You'll get tossed.
Yeah.
You'll get D-Box tossed.
Yeah, D-Box don't fuck around, dude.
That's not... D-Box ain't nothing to play with, dude.
Okay, so we're at number three now.
Number three. And yours was Arcade.
Arcade. Not Arcade Fire. Arcade.
Mine is Arcade Fire.
Well, it should be, because isn't that dude friends with, like, Miley Cyrus now?
Probably.
That's basically a career suicide.
That's basically just killing your career.
Hopefully
over
they're
and
banging,
over again.
Though. If they're banging, it's cool. He came in like a wrecking ball.
Damn it. Damn you. Damn you. I'm going to go with Kang the Conqueror.
Yes.
Mainly because...
Isn't he the guy in the weird chair?
That's Metatron.
Oh.
Kang the Conqueror is interesting because he keeps going into different points in time and killing himself.
Smart.
Because he's Immortus, Kang the Conqueror, Franklin Richards, all these people are the same. So he keeps going through time and just murdering himself over and over again. That's his bag. So I'm going to go with that.
Mortis.
Mordo?
No, there's some guy in a chair.
Metatron.
No, it's not him.
Hold Death on. Racer, the guy skis.
No, dude, he's like in a chair, and his whole head, his whole body is the chair.
MODOK?
Yeah, dude, MODOK.
MODOK's like a weird, insane scientist, though. Like,
yeah, it's definitely MODOK, chair guy.
Okay, so you're going with MODOK. MODOK's your favorite.
I don't really know anything about MODOK, but look how weird he is.
Dude, I know. He's super
a chair
weird.
Guy.
He's
a chair.
He's a chair guy. I want somebody to play him in the, in a movie.
Who has a really big head?
Gary Busey.
His son.
Jake Busey. Should be MODOK.
Take him out of Tomcats. Just straight out of Tomcats. Just superimpose his entire, like, scene, all of his scenes in Tomcats. And that's his, like, character.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What's Tomcats?
It's a movie with Gary Busey's son, Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey? No, but I might, like seriously, what's Tomcats?
It's that one movie by Favreau?
John Favreau.
John Favreau's first movie.
Okay.
And it's got some guy in it, and they go out Tomcatting, and it's got Jake Busey in it.
Really?
Yep.
I should look that up.
It's mediocre.
Not that great.
It also has What's-His-Name in it. Tall guy.
Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, Vince Vaughn. You've
You're
seen
about
it.
Swingers?
Yes. It's exactly not, what I'm talking about.
It does not have Jake Busey
no,
in
dude,
it.
I'm fucking talking about Tomcats.
All right, you're going to have to find Tomcats.
Tomcats.
And so MODOK, we need one more. All right. Who's going to be the best serial killer in comics? Bar none. We've already said the Joker. Marvel side. Kraven the Hunter.
He's a good guy, I thought.
He's the African hunter guy.
Well, he's not necessarily a bad guy. He just likes
hunting
people.
He hunts people for a living. That's straight up serial. That's the definition of serial killing.
Tomcats, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. So it has Shannon Elizabeth,
Wow.
Whoever that is. Oh, Shannon Elizabeth.
Yeah, Shannon Elizabeth.
I was thinking Shannon Elizabeth Scott would. Oh, Sean William
Sean
Scott.
William Scott. Idiot.
Jerry O'Connell.
What is this movie?
And Jake Busey.
What is this movie?
I'll read you synopsis.
Please do.
7 years ago, so in 2009, a bunch of friends make a bet that'll give the last remaining bachelor a ton of money. Now, after losing a ton of money at a Vegas casino, Michael Delaney has to quickly get his friend Kyle married so he can collect that prize money and pay back his debt.
Isn't that isn't that Stand By Me?
Jerry O'Connell, yeah.
Yeah.
And Jake Busey, actually.
That's the synopsis for Stand By Me.
Yeah. Okay. Plays the same character twice.
Oh, nice, nice. Just older.
Jerry O'Connell, he was the fat boy.
He's the pie eater.
Yeah, he's also in, you don't know this, he's uncredited. So all you people are going to say I'm wrong, but he's definitely Donatello in the second Ninja Turtle.
That's funny. I thought he was the V for Vendetta guy.
No, that's Agent Smith.
It is.
Elrond or whatever.
It's Hugo Weaving.
Dude, he's an assassin. He's a lyrical assassin.
He is. He's Ike Kamosi.
Where are we at here?
I think we're done.
Wait, who's that? Like, done? Or just done
no,
with
like,
that 10?
Just done with that 10. It's your turn to come up with a 10.
Well, you pick another one. I gotta think.
All right, you think. I'll pick.
Oh, actually, I got another good one. All right. So this is only a top 5.
All right, we're just gonna cut it down to 5.
It's 5, yeah. So, a video game. So the best comic, that would be a video game.
Ooh. Dang.
You start that one.
I would like there to be... Are you familiar with Neil Gaiman's Sandman?
I know Neil Gaiman.
Okay.
He's a very good artist.
Neil Gaiman's Sandman.
Gaiman.
Would be fantastic. That's what I want to see. Like, moving in and out of dreams, like, from waking people, you can go, like you can go into their dreams, and each dream is a different thing. And you have, like, different objectives in each dream.
Well, that's, like, a video game that could, like, it could literally be anything in the entire world.
But you would have, like, characters from the games, and death, and all that. That's what I want.
I'm into that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. How about you?
Okay. Well, I would have said Deadpool, but they've already made a Deadpool video game.
Right.
I don't know. It's got to be something that's very, like, someone who's imperfect, and they're not, like, being Superman's not fun.
No,
and
it's not.
I would say Moon Knight, like, honestly.
Like a crazy Moon Knight game?
Yeah, dude. Well, I mean, think about it. He, like, it'd be hard to play, because he's not, like, the most powerful person in the world,
mm-hmm.
unless you play it during a full moon.
And then it's crazy.
And then you got, it's easy as fuck.
And you got, like, 5 different, like, personalities you could play as.
Yep.
Like, one of them would be Jake the cab driver, and then you'd have, like, crazy, and then you have Frenchie running around.
Yep.
Legless.
Unabomber.
The Unabomber. And you got a moon copter. Dude, that would be rad. I'm down with that. You know what other game would be really fun?
Pac-Man.
Long shot,
yeah. It would be really easy to beat because you would just push a button and luck has it.
It's the luckiest game in the world. But then you would have to like buy more games. It would be like a lot of those microtransactions.
Let's see, what else we got here?
Well,
I mean, we already talked about this Swamp Thing.
I mean, that would be a really cool game.
You finger girls and then feed them your fingers.
Well, I think it would be a lot like...
What you have to do is you have to make sure everyone in America has enough fiber.
Yeah, right? No, I think it would be a lot like... what was the game with the Pikmin?
Pikmin.
Yeah, I think it'd be a lot like that. You gotta like build your Swamp Thing up, like with little guys, and they live on Swamp Thing.
Yeah, and then you go through a drain and it fucks everything up.
Right, and then you gotta start over. Yep. Like, it'd be really difficult because you gotta cultivate your Swamp Thing.
Yeah, I think a Flash video game would be fun too,
but it would have to be like a reaction based game.
Oh, like Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, because you'd have to be real. You're moving so fast that one false move.
So it's basically Temple Run.
Like super fast Temple Run, super hard Temple Run. Like they could have just
like you ain't getting
that.
To the millions in this.
Like they could have just skinned that as a Flash game, and it would have been fun. Good one. That's a good list. It's a good list of 5.
That's 3.
Oh, that's only 3?
That's 4.
Okay. Give me one more. Give me one more goody. Nick Esquire.
This is going to be a weird one.
All right, I'm ready.
Ultron.
Explain. You have my interest.
Okay. So Ultron is when he starts out as imperfect, right?
Uh-huh.
And that right there, you build up your perfection.
That'd be kind of cool.
And who doesn't want to punch, Thor in the face or Hulk in the face.
Like a villain game. There hasn't been any really good villain games, like where you play the bad guy. Like you play as Apocalypse trying to wreck the X-Men, or as Magneto trying to wreck the X-Men.
Well, that's actually not
true. Oh. Okay.
Have you ever played Twisted Metal? The ice cream dude.
I have, but he's a clown, and I'm Sweet horrified.
Tooth. Yeah, me too, dude.
I'm horrified of clowns.
Oh, they should just have a corn maze game.
Top five scariest clowns.
Corn maze.
Corn maze clowns?
No. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so obviously it is number one. Like, that's
oh God.
Real here.
Just Pennywise like, is the worst.
First of all, sad face, because guess who played him?
Tim Curry?
Tim Curry's my boy.
Yeah, Tim Curry's my boy.
Well, he was my boy.
Equally the most awesome.
Is he still alive?
Tim Curry, yeah.
Are we sure? Wait, I feel like he was one of the British people that died recently.
No, because it was
Alan Rickman.
Is who you're thinking of.
And David Bowie.
Yeah, which when combined, formed Tim Curry, if you think about
Well, you're right, because David Bowie's really sexy, uh-huh. And Alan Rickman's not that sexy.
But his voice is awesome.
Yes, and Tim Curry is a sweet transvestite.
He is.
From transsexual Transylvania.
Right.
And David Bowie, that's basically David Bowie. And he's got a bomb-ass voice.
Right, so there you go. I'm right.
Time warp again.
But yes, it is horrifying. I have nightmares still to this day about my first time seeing the TV miniseries.
Yeah, I'm really scared about that, actually. Hi, Johnny. Scary.
So there's Pennywise, and then there's Corn Maze Clowns.
Corn Maze Clowns.
Which is a horrifying. What about Bathroom Mirror Clowns?
Like, I've never seen one, but that sounds like Constantine.
Like you close the door, and then there's a clown just right there behind you. And then it's gone. As soon as you see it, it's gone.
Oh, rapey clowns?
Like, yeah, they're a little rapey, those clowns.
No, I hate rapey clowns. Those are my least favorite.
I mean, they're not as much scary as they are.
Oh, okay. So here's painful. Another one. Like these clowns scared me. The fat clowns from the Batman movie.
Uh-huh.
Do you know which one I'm talking about? The ones with the one with the Joker, and they're like, and they're fat, and they chase Batman.
Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Yes.
Okay.
They're scary.
They are scary. The clown costume that it's every Halloween store is kind of scary. Like the mask, like the Juggalos. Juggalos are scary just because they're allowed to exist.
What about Mixplixplicker?
Mixleplix?
Yeah, him.
Mixleplix, not a clown?
Kind of.
But scary, nonetheless.
Kind of a clown. So why is Superman like, oh, I hate magic? Like, this seems so arbitrary.
It is arbitrary, but he needed a weakness.
Should have been love. Or corn.
Or both. His love of corn should have been his weakness.
Well, that sounds like Troll 2, kind of.
It does. But, I mean, he grew up in
good
Kansas.
Way.
You could have made his weakness his love of corn. And then, like, anytime Luther wanted to get him, he just had some fresh corn on the cob. Just fresh steam.
Come on over, boy. I got you some nice corn on the cob.
Some fresh corn on the cob.
Okay, so let's talk about Lex Luthor for a second.
Let's open that can of worms.
So the guy that was Lex Luthor in Smallville was the best Lex Luthor.
Yes.
Besides the one from the cartoon.
Michael.
Bradshaw.
Yes. Tim Bradshaw.
Crabtree.
Michael.
Crabtree Bradshaw.
Crabtree Bradshaw. Round, I can't remember his last name, but yes.
It's a bald guy.
Same guy that voices the Flash in the animated series.
Correct. He has a good voice.
He's a good actor. I agree that he's the best.
Michael Rosenbaum.
Way to go. Way to go.
Channel.
I still think that who played Lex Luthor in the old Superman movies? He was also in the
Royal Tannenbaums.
He was in Royal Tannenbaums. That's not his name, though.
Well, in the movie, his name's Royal Tannenbaum.
It is Royal Tannenbaum in the movie.
Yeah.
But I think he's the best Lex Luthor.
Yeah, he's a good actor. You know who would be the best Lex Luthor for real, though?
Who's that?
Michael McDonald.
Her.
Combo of...
Sweet freedom. Superman, I hate you.
I got a feeling.
What a fool believes. Yeah, he'd be good. He'd be good. Michael McDonald, he would not only be Lex Luthor, but he would also do all the music for it, and it would also star Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, aren't they dating?
Are they?
And isn't their kid Steph Curry?
Yes. Step kid.
Stepson. So his real parents are?
I can't even remember, man.
Two people.
Tupac.
No, Gary Busey and...
David Bowie.
A Neiman or whatever her wife's
Iman. Amon.
And then, yeah, so that's his real parents. And then he was adopted by Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg.
And the other person we just said, Michael McDonald.
Yeah.
They have a beautiful voice.
And their god,
Long shot.
The godfather is Sam Elliott.
Well, Sam Elliott and Samuel L. Jackson, the Sams.
The Sams.
So Sam's.
They're the Hollywood godfathers. They're the godfather to 85 Hollywood children.
You didn't know that about Whoopsie.
All right. I got another list.
All right, deal.
You ready?
Let's hear it.
This is going to be good. This is for you.
Okay.
I made this specially for you. And I think we have time for just about one more list. So this one is going to be a big one. Top 10 characters inspired by David Bowie.
Whoa. Well, obviously number one is Longshot.
Longshot is number one.
Like, for real.
Like,
this
for
time.
Real, though. For real.
Starchild.
He's got the eye thing, the star on the eye.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah.
Or nine, whatever.
Whichever. It doesn't matter. No particular order.
A number.
Right.
Detroit Rock City.
Detroit Rock City.
Yeah. Name that band.
Your Kiss?
The entire cast of Kiss.
The Kiss comic.
And
had,
Rent.
Because Kiss had comic books.
Yes, they did.
So I'm going to give you that.
Well, just the star boy with the tongue.
Okay, so just Gene Simmons?
And the star guy.
Ace Frehley.
Yeah, not the cat.
No, not Peter Criss.
Especially not Peter Criss. Especially not. He has a dumb name.
Never fuck you, Peter Criss.
That's Ruth Criss's brother, actually.
It is?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Steak lady herself, Ruth.
I don't think it's Ruth. Is it Ruth's Criss?
Ruth's Criss's.
I can't pronounce it.
So Ruth Criss, it gets its name because that's the sound a steak makes when you put it on a grill. Ruth's Criss.
We're going to lose them as a sponsor. I can't pronounce the name. Ruth's Criss. Charcuterie.
Charcuterie.
So who else was inspired by David Bowie? I mean, you would have to think like the Martian Manhunter, right?
Yeah, when he ever becomes a spider, absolutely.
I mean, nice. But yeah, no, I've definitely got to think Martian Manhunter is inspired by David Bowie to some extent.
I'm going to go ahead and say Damian Wayne.
I'm listening.
Because he knows karate. And David Bowie wore a kimono. He's wearing a kimono in heaven, let's be honest.
All right, let's be real. Yeah, okay. But for definitely the Joker, right? Like,
yeah, thin,
like
agile.
The thin white Duke.
The thin white dude.
It wasn't Station to Station. Was it Hunky Dory that he used the thin white Duke? I can't remember. But
yes.
But definitely the Joker. I think the Joker fits the bill pretty.
So this is a comic book. You ready for this?
Ready.
Eddie Dean from Gunslinger series.
Okay.
What's his name? Eddie Brock? Nope. Pretty sure it's Eddie Dean.
Which one was he?
He's the guy that was addicted to heroin.
Oh, the skinny. Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. No.
His name's
yeah.
Eddie something.
Well, anyone who's addicted to heroin.
So. Really funny. David Bowie lived multiple years of his life only eating milk and milk and eating peppers.
Yep.
And crack.
And coke. No, lots of pure, unadulterated cocaine. 2 years of his life.
That's crazy, dude. I wonder what his... Never mind. Semen. Yeah, I'm going to go and say semen tastes like.
Yeah, it's David Bowie.
Peppery.
David Bowie is a chaos magician.
So chaotic.
And he went for 2 years of his life only drinking milk and eating peppers. And he has no idea.
Jalapenos.
The best, and coke. Lots of coke.
Lots of cocaine.
And he has no idea why. Like, he did interviews. He has no idea why he did it.
I feel like that's just like asking for the worst heartburn you've ever experienced, especially when you do it for that long.
I mean, how's your butthole feel? Let's be honest. Like, I don't know if he felt anything, but if he did, it was his butthole, and it was not pleasant. Did you ever find this Paula Dean guy?
It's Eddie Dean. I was right.
Okay, so and he's the guy, the present day guy in the Gunslinger books, right?
That yes. Was
when Roland jumps forward or goes through the tower.
When he draws them.
Right.
In the drawing of the three.
One day, maybe we'll have to do an entire podcast where you explain the Gunslinger series to me. Because I've read like three of the books and I have no idea. And then I've read other books that reference it by Stephen King and
they all reference it. One of the best books from Stephen King to read, like honestly, is it's a mashup between him and Peter Straub. They each wrote a chapter of a book.
Okay.
And it's called The Talisman. It's really freaking good.
Is it about Gunslinger?
No, it's about this kid that has to go retrieve a talisman to save his wife from cancer, or his mom from cancer.
Okay.
Really, really good, though. You should check it out.
I have it, I think. I just haven't read it.
But he goes to, there's a bunch of references to the Dark Tower in that book. Like Crimson King and all kinds of stuff.
What's really cool, isn't The Stand...
Yes, so the man in black,
yeah,
is Randall Flagg, maybe, who's also Martin.
But we don't know that yet.
Well, you might. I mean, it's just, it's not really said that he is, but he is. Like, it's right. He's evil.
So cool. Like, that's, yeah, I like it.
Can you do polls? Like, internet polls?
We could do internet polls.
Can you do one about asking people if they are into Idris Elba being Roland Deschain?
This upsets you.
Okay, listen. Idris Elba is a wonderful actor.
It's fantastic.
And I think that he'll do a great job.
Okay.
But I just am curious what would happen if someone changed.
It's a fairly common topic of conversation.
Is it canonical or non-canonical?
Right.
Like, what would you prefer?
The issue is this. And on our, we've talked, I mean, this is no stranger. This topic is no stranger because Fantastic Four came out and Michael B. Jordan play Johnny Storm. Obviously, in the comics, he's a white guy. In the movie, he's a black guy. Actually, I saw that movie, was pleasantly surprised at how, not a great movie, not a waste of my time.
But he's also not like Mike. Like, the Human Torch isn't the main character of something.
No. And
like, that's like making Captain America black. Not that there's anything wrong with Captain America being black. It just doesn't make, like, someone who reads the comics, it doesn't make sense.
There is canon that should be followed. And this is the big argument that we have when we talk about this, is you see these internet flame wars where people are saying that I don't like the fact that Thor's a woman, or I don't like the fact that Human Torch was cast as a black guy. For us, it's not a bigot or racist or sexist stance. It's a canonical stance. It's the fact that how long is the Dark Tower series? When does Gunslinger start, would you say?
90s or the 80s or the 70s even?
It was before the
80s.
I mean, it was before the 90s. It was when I was a kid.
Yeah, I don't know. I read that book when I was like 10 years old. So, right. I mean, I assumed it had to have been before that.
So there's a lot of history there. That that's what we have a problem with, is that you've built up this universe around these characters, and then you go in and decide you're going to change it.
1982.
Yeah, and then you decide you're going to go in and change it. You know, and that's our problem. It's not the fact that it's a black guy playing him. And like you said, Idris Elba is fantastic. Like,
he would do a great job.
He's so good.
It just doesn't make sense. And then, like, I just wonder what would happen if someone like Susanna, she's a black character, if they would make her a white character. Would they ever do that? And if they did, what kind of outrage would there be from that? I would be upset if they did that.
Right. So, and I think that that's easily missed from our generation, from people in the outside looking in, that they think that we're upset because it's a black guy playing a white character. It's not. It would be the same if the role was reversed. If they took
Static Shock and made him white.
Oh, I'd be so pissed.
Yeah, it would
that's
be,
the worst
that
one. Like, I was trying to think of one in my head and just nailed it. Like, I would be so mad about that. Like, insanely mad. Black Panther. If they made,
oh man, dude, I would be like I would feel like that was racist.
I would. It would be horribly. You could not make that racist. That would be racist. I would set something on fire. So it's not that. No, you're right.
I think the solution to the problem is they need to make new characters.
Yeah.
More diverse.
And I also think that
like, they should make an octopus man that is like Mexican.
That's
or racist. Haitian.
That's racist.
Why is that racist?
Make a Haitian octopus man.
That sounds awesome.
Is that a like super villain or a superhero?
He knows voodoo.
Brother Voodoo.
Well, that's something totally different.
Dude, I love Brother Voodoo.
And he chews tobacco. And he's sassy.
That's racist. That's not racist. You're broad stroking a character for a pitch. You're like, all right, we need a cast for the best friend. He's Haitian. He's sassy. Also, he's an octopus.
He's got octopus powers. He's got a beak.
Octopus powers.
He's got a beak. And he can change colors.
That's pretty sweet.
And he has 8 arms.
Can I audition?
Yeah, no, you can't.
I'm not Haitian.
Yeah, so
damn it.
It should be that one guy that we were talking about. Remember? I did. Oh. The guy that was the voice of the bad guy in that one in How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Ron Perlman?
No. He's also the guy that eats the maggots out of what's his name's arm in Gladiator.
Oh,
the one guy that we said would be the best Black Panther.
Right, and I can't think of his
name. Why isn't Idris Elba Black Panther?
Idris Elba should be Black
Panther. Well, he's kind of old to be Black Panther.
Who cares? He'd still be the best actor in an Avengers movie. He would be really good. If Idris Elba just showed up. Why doesn't Idris Elba just show up and do stuff?
Like, it's my part. Like I wouldn't... I would be okay if, like, in the middle of the... Like, Idris Elba is such a good actor. I wouldn't be upset if they white-faced him. Like, I would not be upset at all.
If he showed up as Tony Stark, just in one scene. I would not, just seriously. Just walking, like... Idris Elba. Like, and he just, like, walked off, like, I'm Tony Stark, and just walked up and be like, I think that was Idris Elba in whiteface. And everybody be like, sweet.
It's really funny that you mentioned that. So the guy that plays Tony Stark is?
Robert Downey Jr.?
Yes, and in a movie he does blackface.
What movie?
Tropic Thunder.
Oh, he does do it in Tropic Thunder.
He does a great job.
I mean, that was great. Yeah, that was great. That movie was great. Yeah. What were we talking about? What was our topic? No. David Bowie.
David Bowie.
So...
Long shot. Oh, Jubilee probably.
Yeah, let's go with Jubilee. I think that's a safe bet. She makes. You know what? Who's better than Jubilee for this?
Jubilee sucks.
Dazzler.
Dazzler.
Dazzler's better.
Oh, dude, we have to do one more top 10 after this, though.
Okay.
I have to do the top 10 shittiest villains of all time.
Okay, so we'll do that one after this.
Okay.
Who else?
Free.
We need one more David Bowie.
I'm thinking on it.
I think maybe.
Krang.
Krang from TMNT.
Yes.
Splinter for sure.
Splinter that for outfit. Sure. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Kimono. Sure.
All right, so let's do your top 10.
And then shittiest?
And then we'll get out of here for tonight.
Okay, I actually wrote this one, guys. Goyles. I already went over this one with you, actually, but it's going to be
You would know a few of them, but still pretty good.
Oh, it's going to be great. I just got to find it.
So we tried to do some research for this as best we could.
Okay, hope you guys are ready for this one. Sugar Man.
Sugar Man's awful. If you don't know, he's like MODOK. He's worse than MODOK.
Yeah, he has a chair.
I mean, MODOK at least gets a chair.
Yeah.
This guy gets stubby little legs and a couple arms and just a giant toe head. Like, literally a giant toe head.
And he's really sweet.
He's very sweet.
I have peepers.
Fucking peepers, man.
I like how he doesn't have eyelids.
He's just one giant eyes.
I said this one too. Lady Stilt Man.
See,
not Stilt Woman, Lady Stilt Man.
Lady Stilt Man.
So that's shitty for a couple reasons. She's on fucking stilts.
First of all,
that's her fucking superpower. She's on stilts. And why couldn't she? It's just so stupid. The name's so terrible.
And she was made by. You haven't gotten there yet. I can't talk about it. It's a Daredevil spoilers. We'll talk about it after you see it. Go for it.
Daredevil.
Daredevil.
So you got one here.
I've got one?
Yeah. What you got?
Do I get a. Shittiest supervillain. Do you remember Vermin from Spider-Man? That had diseases and had a bunch of rats, and he would live in the sewers. It was out around the time of Venom and Carnage.
So there was a Rat King in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles too.
There was. Any rat-based supervillain is real shitty.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, so that's mine. Vermin from Spider-Man was mine.
You want to give everybody a lowdown on my next one, which is Asbestos Lady?
See, you're going to have to give the lowdown on Asbestos Lady because I am not as familiar. Matter of fact, the only way I know Asbestos Lady exists is because you've told me.
So Asbestos Lady is fireproof.
Sure, as you would expect.
I'm going to read the introduction to her on her Wikipedia page.
I like it's her Wikipedia page. She's a real person that exists on her Wikipedia page.
Well, there's Asbestos Man and then Asbestos Lady.
Okay.
So, Asbestos Man, there is no Asbestos Lady thing, so let's just go here. Dr. Orson Karloff, better known as Asbestos Man.
That's an awful name.
Yes, it is. It's kind of like Dr. Never mind.
Dr. Professor Doctor?
Dr. Professor Doctor. Is a fictional supervillain, appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics, whatever, who cares. Powers and abilities. Asbestos Man has no superpowers, but possesses a handful of items. His super asbestos armor is high in toxicity and is also resistant to heat. Additionally, his iron shield can block out flames and his metal net is capable of energy manipulation. He holds a PhD in analytical chemistry.
Well, that's good for him. What is he from? Who's he a villain in? Do you know?
Strange Tales.
So probably
1963.
Probably Human Torch. Probably.
Yep, it is Human Torch.
Yeah, that sounds dumb. Dumb enough to be the Human Torch.
How can the Human Torch defend himself against the Asbestos Man?
wait about 50 years for mesothelioma to kick in from all that asbestos. That's the best way. So who else is on your list?
Well, you got a couple, don't you?
I'm trying to think, man.
Well, I could. I got a humdinger at the end.
You had to wait for that. Long shot. I'm going to go long shot as one of the...
He lucked into being a villain.
He lucked into being the best villain, the best worst villain of all time. As far as Mojo, speaking of long shot, honestly, Mojo.
How does he poop?
I don't think he does.
So what happens to his poop?
I think it's just in him. I don't think it goes anywhere. It's so bad.
Okay, so my last and final.
Okay. This is it. This is
10 member. They're not super villains, but they're superheroes, but they're so shitty they had to be included. Every single member, of Section 8.
Section 8.
Yes. So there's Sixpack, who's the team leader, and his special ability is grotesque drunkenness.
Nice.
Yes. He beats villains with broken off liquor bottles.
Okay.
Bueno Excelente.
Well, that's awesome.
An obese, sweaty, and bald Latino in an overcoat. And he defeats evil with the power of perversion.
Well, don't we all?
Yes. The defense trader, a large, burly man in a denim jacket, black sunglasses, and black hair, who excessively carries around a window through which he forcefully throws criminals, and the occasional unlucky policeman.
Nice. I like that. So, that guy's sweet.
Dog wielder. A thin, silent man in a welder's mask who spot welds dead canines to evildoers. That's real.
I mean, did we come up with this list? Like, is this a comic that we made?
No, dude, it's real life. Friendly Fire, a large, helpless man in a red cowl. Friendly Fire would easily be the most powerful if he were to shoot anything other than his allies. John D. Baton. A bizarrely gaunt, walking French caricature who defeats enemies with the power of his Frenchness.
Well, I mean, that's the first time the French have defeated anyone, so yes. That's a winner.
There's Flim Jim, a sickly, thin, bald man in a green suit and a purple domino mask who has the ability to produce and expel large volumes of phlegm.
Sounds gross, but effective.
Shakes. This is one of my favorites. A thin, hairy vagrant who upsets people through stutters and an overall shaking palsy.
Wow. Who made this comic?
Beator, the demon lord of criminal insanity and caretaker of Noonan's Bar. And then there's Dog Wielder 2.
Well, Dog Wielder 2, yes. This, as in part 2. Like
he
two.
Stole Dog Wielder's gear.
Oh, what an asshole.
He bought it at a pawn shop.
Well, that's okay then. Who made this comic?
All right, let's see what we got here. Garth Ennis.
Oh, Garth Ennis made it.
John McCrae. Okay. And Steve Dillon. But Steve Dillon only created Dog Welder.
Wait, so is this Image?
It's DC, man. He was in Hitman number 18.
Oh.
Or they were, I should say.
Hitman was great. Hitman was a great, great comic.
Dude, Dog Welder. Who Hitman. Came up with Dog Welder? It's ridiculous.
Well, Garth Ennis... these are the guys that came up with like Kick-Ass and Nemesis. So they're the ones that came up with it. They're insane. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the tens. Nick, do you got any final words? Anything you want to tell our listeners out there? Any important messages that you'd like to send over the airwaves?
What a weird, strange trip it's been.
It has been. You're right. Thank you, Nick Esquire. For lending us your vocal stylings for these two issues of Hey Kids Comics. So I'm gonna go ahead and wrap it up in our usual fashion, and we'll be back next week for more Hey Kids Comics. I think it's gonna be an all lady issue next week, which would be fun. I think we're gonna talk about
ladies.
We're gonna talk about ladies. What about sexy ladies? All the ladies.
Yeah, like Huntress.
Like Huntress. I think there's actually be lady. It's a rarity that we have ladies, actually ladies on the show, like talking.
Real ladies?
Because ladies don't, yeah.
They don't talk usually. I mean, to us anyways.
To us. No, they're usually talking about important things and not
about. Yeah, like
comics.
Science and politics or whatever.
Right,
math,
being smart and
calculus.
Powerful. And yep. And we're over here talking about.
Dog welder. He welds dogs to criminals.
To criminals. That's what we talk about. So you have found us on the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com. Go there if you haven't yet and listen to all the awesome podcasts. There's a lot of new Rantcore pits up. I believe the movie shows are getting ready to launch back. PJ's getting ready to go. There's going to be a lot of updates from AllCon coming up. Cole is still out there diligently working to prepare AllCon for you guys. Lots of good content. I've seen a lot. I've gotten a preview of a lot of the new game shows, a lot of the stuff coming. It's going to be amazing. So hopefully, if we haven't gotten it yet, we will get an update from him in audio form that we will plug in there. So that's JediCole.com. Also go to Captain Texas, the Convention Awareness Project Texas. Just do a Google search. You can find all of the Texas. Last year, 100 conventions in Texas. Go to as many as you can. Support as many as you can. So yeah, join us next week. And as always, buy, collect, and enjoy your comics. I am Andrew Farmer.
I'm Nick Esquire.
Thanks for listening, folks. Join us next week.